And so if you have questions, star two on your telephone keypad. I never remember all these. Star two on your telephone keypad. And if you have to want to type them into the chat, you can do that too. Give me a second. All right, so this is the Q&A for the Ayurvedic section with Jan Chamberlain. And we have a question from Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Hi. Jan, this was great. I learned so much. There were so many things that I wasn't aware of beyond the doshas, and I'm still not quite sure which dosha I am. I'm definitely a melding. And I also like learning about the different things beyond the food and realized that some of the things that I had been incorporating into my morning routine must be based here. Like the neti pot, I do tongue scraping. And one of the things I had read, and I wanted to know if you'd read this too, maybe this is where it came from. There was something called monkey gland. And
yes.
You were
supposed
to, yeah. Mm-hmm. And until your eyes watered, and because that reminded me of when you were talking about not swallowing anything. So when I did my tongue scraping, I'm supposed to gag till I get all that stuff out of it. And then the showers, I was told to just take a cold shower. But they said oil up beforehand, and then to wear shower shorts so that, because then you're in your thigh bones, your femurs, you don't have the minerals leave from the marrow of the bones there. So I don't know I can't remember where I learned that from, so I don't know if that was from Ayurveda or somebody
with regard to the monkey glands that you mentioned, that and that goes along with the gargling. If you have a client that just cannot bring themselves to kind of gag and again, right. You want to actually gag after you've done a little bit of, you know, some scraping, so you're not swallowing anything and you're gagging. But with regard to that, that again is great. So they can gargle afterwards with the salt water rinse or just with plain water as well. I'm just always, as you are, we're always trying to optimize everything, aren't we? So mm-hmm. maximize the effectiveness. And something that you mentioned, you'll hear both. I've just been doing a lot of study on rehabilitating joints and also inflammation because the foot injury that I had at Shine, I'm still struggling with, interestingly enough. And so I've been doing some research and they're saying, whereas ice is generally what's been prescribed, that the hot and cold hydrotherapy, they're actually finding better for reducing inflammation. So I think it's basically what your goal is. You know, as you mentioned there, and then you're oiling afterwards, and they actually indicate.
No, before.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying, so there's two schools of thought.
Oh, okay.
So I would think that the before, so you're oiling before and then you're doing the shower, as you mentioned, with the shower shorts,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And the idea is to retain, you know, in the tissues, and for the bone marrow. Is that what you're mentioning?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct.
Bone marrow. And again, I think it just depends on what your goal is. If you're wanting to reduce inflammation, the studies that I've been reading lately are that, again, the hot-cold hydrotherapy and then oiling afterwards, and that castor oil is one of the best.
Okay.
And then you're massaging, you know, in my case, I would be massaging from the foot up towards those lymph glands that are, you know, in the inner thigh and up towards the abdomen, et cetera.
Right.
So I think
that makes sense.
I'm going to
exactly.
answer first there and really agree with Jan on that and all the things. You know, I was always taught to, in acute situations, to do ice, and then within 48 hours, then you can do ice heat and then go to heat. And I'm just finding that cold, hot is actually is most beneficial for most things, right? So,
right.
For example, my son's sprained his ankle, really bad sprain. And he doesn't want to ice it. He just doesn't like icing it. So I may have read some of the same stuff that you did, but I started having him do putting it under the water, as hot as he could stand water, then as cold as he could stand water, hot as he can still, then alternating that, and then doing the castor oil massage afterwards. And I'd massage it in for him. And amazingly, this kid just recovered in like record time from this injury. It just, the swelling went down dramatically. With the whole shower thing, as much as I like to, you know, do these wonderful processes that people tell me, I'm not doing a cold shower. You'd have to gag me and tie me and shower to make me do a cold shower. I won't do it. But would I go in the shower and then like quickly turn on the cold and then put on the hot again? If I knew I could get right back to the heat, I would do it, right? Yeah. And what about Avada, who's cold already? I just see that would like shrink them down a little bit. So I do like the concept of alternating much, much better than I like the concept of cold, right. Not just from a comfort level, a compliance level, but also from a dosha level and from an inflammatory, you want to bring blood into the area after you've flooded out the bad stuff. So the cold pushes away from the surface. It pushes away all the stuff that's been stagnating in that area, gets it into the bloodstream to be eliminated. And then once that's gone, you want to bring new blood in. So you want to bring new blood from the internal part of the body out to the extremity to kind of bring those healing nutrients and everything else that it needs. And when you alternate it, it creates a pumping action, which is phenomenal also for bruising, with people with bruising in like their hands or a bad sprain in their hand. You have them dunk into ice if they'll do it, or cold, and then pull it back out.
Well, and you wouldn't want to do the cold shower too if somebody was in extreme adrenal fatigue, because that would be too much.
Right.
So, for me, it was fine. It actually worked just fine. And then I would just go do my yoga. And my yoga is kind of, it's not just a gentle stretching yoga. Which I think also is an Ayurvedic principle to sweat every day. Laugh and sweat every day.
I remember correctly. To decrease the ama. Yeah. And then the laughing increases the ojas. So, and those are the goals. Yeah. That's great.
And the last thing I was going to say is, when I was out in California at the beginning of December, it was extremely windy. I'd never experienced those Santa Ana winds. And there was a woman there talking about Ayurveda, and she said that it was very Vata. And we all became very Vata in that we were all became gassy. And I thought that was really interesting that the environment supported or brought out that physical characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And that's the one thing you do have to consider, I think, with all of these imbalances, is what is the outside environment like? And then what's their inside environment like? What kind of stress are they experiencing? So I think people's doshas are going to be a little different if they're in a nice tropical paradise, relaxing, as opposed to in a, you know, an office cubicle where they have tons and tons of work. So, a lot of the doshas, they change and they fluctuate, and you do have to always be monitoring to make sure that you're providing balance to your client.
Right.
And that's with any pitta imbalance
or a pitta with a kapha imbalance. It's just because really the ideal is to be in balance, right? That whole balance word just keeps coming up, and the balance would be to take all the good stuff about the, you know, and not have the bad stuff, right? Each of those doshas has some really good, like strong digestion or stamina or other things, but they also have some negative sides. And so, you know, a person who has an inherent tendency to be a kapha can be a balanced kapha or an imbalanced kapha. And that's what we're looking for, is to helping them to restore that balance and bring them back to middle.
Exactly. And to be the best version of whatever their inherent sort of underlying dosha is. So to, as you mentioned, to have the best positive symptoms and eliminate the negative symptoms.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you have a quiz that you like? I know there's a lot of them out there. You probably go to Google and say, you know, dosha quiz. I've seen a lot of them. I have Ayurvedic books that have them. But have you found one that you like?
Yeah, some of the websites have a different, they're in the references that we referenced on the slides. You can click on them and they can have, I really prefer the ones that are the most comprehensive. Some are just pretty basic.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I think the more comprehensive, the more questions. It's just like when we take a client case history, right? The more questions and when we dig and really get to the root issue of things. So the more comprehensive the questionnaire, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. I've consistently come out like, you know, a bit Vata when I'd be reading those things. Oh, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that. Oh, no, I'm not that. And oh, yeah, I'm that, I'm that. So it's really, I think that combination is really, you don't want to pigeonhole people into this one little spot. They may have pieces of both. And I'm really clearly both Vata and Pitta. Clearly, I have like most of the signs of both of them, and there's a few that I don't have from both of them. So it's really kind of interesting to do those tests. And every time I've done them, and that's what I come out as a Vata Pitta.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Anybody else? Let's see. Anybody else have questions, comments?
You know, one other thing while we're waiting for someone to raise their hand. Also, with different imbalances in the body and the organs themselves. So like somebody that has all of a sudden the thyroid's out of balance, you may see more Vata tendencies. Does that make sense? Or if their Vata is really going to be aggravated, I mean, if they have already Vata tendencies really going to be aggravated, or if they have the Pitta, the Kapha, then all of a sudden these Vata things are coming up, the dry skin, the cold hands and feet, etc. So just something to think about too. You know, we can actually look at organs.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. So that, yes, exactly. That makes sense. And it would be interesting to see, I don't remember if you've mentioned this, but that certain imbalances, certain hormonal imbalances most common to certain doshas. You know, for example, is a Vata most likely, you know, expressing some thyroid imbalances.
Right, or the Kapha, the adrenal.
Through hot menopause or whatever. Okay. Yeah, good stuff. All right. I don't see any other hands up. Last chance, guys. Come on.
Beverly had her hand up.
Oh, Beverly did, but she disappeared. It went down.
She's back. Whoop.
There she is. Beverly, did you have a question?
Well, you know, I was going to raise my hand, but you guys pretty much said what I was about to raise my hand to say, which I'm so much Vata, it's frightening. So, like, if you were going to check off almost everything on the Vata list to the extent where I'm trying to think of something that wasn't describing me. If you were most checking off everything, then clearly there's an imbalance in your dosha, right? And for example, that I was going to also say, for somebody who's so strongly Vata, that would likely point to something with thyroid or adrenal or lack of digestive fire, kind of all the things that are in that group.
Right.
And so if you're, and you know, eating the way we do, it's like, you know, I like to do a big salad with lots of stuff on it and so forth. And I guess you really do have to think about how you're eating. I mean, I'm eating a lot more cooked these days, but still I feel like, you know, I need to stay away from the salads, and it's like, who wants to cook your salad? we have a lot of really nice chicory kind of greens that come to us that we get from a local farm, and I guess, you know, again, lightly steaming those things would probably be an option, or maybe even putting the lettuces and things like that into a broth. Do you think that eating that way and utilizing the herbs and many of the other obvious modalities of working on balancing are required too? But in terms of just food for balance, I think that would you think that would be okay to use things that you typically eat raw, but try to lightly warm them or steam them?
Warm them or break them down, you know. So what I like to do is to take something like kale or other green leafies and just put a little salt or a little lemon and then massage them and break them down so they're much easier. And yeah, warming them a little. The other thing I've done too is that combination. So you want to still get the nutrients that are in the raw. You can take like arugula or any kind of chopped up raw vegetable, small chops, put it in a bowl and then steam some vegetables. And then you can take the broth that you steamed them with and put that over. Or what I like to do is blend the broth with the vegetables, put in some nice warming spices like ginger and turmeric and cumin and things like that. And then pour that, blend it together and then pour that over the raw vegetables, which just wilts it, warms it. It doesn't cook it. You still have the benefit of the raw, but it's warm with the rest of it. So those are some of the things. And also the dehydrator, I will take broccoli and massage it down and then put a little salt and lemon on it and then stick it in the dehydrator for a couple of hours. And that warms it without cooking it and killing it. And it's very, very soothing and nourishing.
And also, Beverly, one idea too, and for anyone who has the Vata tendencies or the other tendencies as well, is to use those spices to create the warming. You know, throw the cayenne in there. I would love to see someone with a strong Vata to experiment with the Brahmi, you know, the Bacopa herb. And I noticed that Mountain Rose Herbs does carry that particular herb. So that would be a really interesting thing to put into a smoothie. And I think of some of the smoothies that Rita Marie's husband makes and that we've had for our events. And they have, you know, a lot of these warming foods, the savory smoothies. So, and then you can have a blended salad, basically.
Yep.
But it's warm.
Salad that warms it up. And you can put some warm water. So you're not going to cook the salad because that's kind of gross. But if you take some warmed up water, I put some water in my tea kettle, warm it up, not boiling, but warm it up and then pour that in the blender with the salad stuff and blend it up. That gives you the benefits of both sides.
And it's like taking your salad and really turning it into a nice warming soup. And I love that idea. I've made your recipes and they are delightful with the cooked steamed greens or steamed veggies blended over the raw greens. That's such a nice hybrid. You know, because like you said, you're getting the raw nutrients with the warming of the liquid and the cooked veggies. That's a great idea. And I have, lo and behold, a thing of Bacopa that I had purchased a few months back, and something made me pull it out of the drawer yesterday. So I'll have to report back to y'all and see how that does, because I need a little balancing for sure right now. So I'm gonna try that out and let y'all know how that works out. It's not the raw powder, but it's the capsule, I believe.
Okay, well, that's fine. I have the powder from, I think it was Ultimate Superfoods. It's just a little jar, and I ordered a bunch of little herbs when they started carrying the Ayurvedic herbs powdered like that, with all this intention of creating a couple of good elixir recipes, and I didn't. It would be fun, really fun, for you to think about some of these herbs and some of these foods and create little Vata balancing, Pitta balancing, and a Kapha balancing elixirs. People love these elixir recipes. So you just make these recipes and give them their own recipe. And they're like, oh, this is customized to you. And I think it could be great. I've never done it. I haven't, you know, the herbs are all sitting there, but I just haven't really done it. So it would be great. The other thing I was going to say, too, is that you have to keep in mind that, like with my macrobiotics, like a lot of these food principles, food theories, they've developed in third world countries and quite a while ago where there wasn't proper sanitation refrigeration. And so eating raw foods was very dangerous, right? Because you can end up with parasites and all sorts of microbial overgrowth. So a lot of stuff, you know, that's why I say a lot of the principles that you can take and, you know, pull together. I love a lot of macrobiotic principles, but I certainly don't like 80% rice. But, you know, that whole idea of balance and how can you take the best of these principles, figure out what's right for your individual person and put together a plan for them. So that's what I love.
Exactly. Yeah, like another example would be like, well, I mean, I understand the leftover issue, especially with certain foods. But maybe again, because there was a lack of refrigeration, leftovers weren't the safest thing to have on hand.
Right. But from a practical standpoint, right? Yeah, leftovers are not your best bet. Fresh is always best. But from a practical standpoint, we're working with very busy people in a very busy world, very different from being in a place where they could take 3 or 4 hours a day to do self-care and make their food fresh. So, you know, making sure that they know how to properly care for leftovers, that you put them into glass containers and put them in the refrigerator, and then you can warm them up. How they warm them up, you don't want to stick it in the microwave, but you can actually boil a pot of water and then put the glass container in that, like a steam it and steam it back to heat. So there's a lot of compromise ways in there, but a lot of the things we're going to deal with, if you were to take this brain fogged, fatigued, overwhelmed person and give them all these Ayurvedic practices that, okay, in the morning you're going to do your exercise, you're going to do your oil pulling, your skin brushing, your shower, your yoga. Like 5 hours later, they can start the rest of their day, whatever they have to do, like take care of pets and kids and go to work. So you've got to temper it. I love a lot of these principles. Tongue scraping is great when I do it every single day, twice a day, sometimes more, but at least morning and night. The skin brushing, oh, that's what I wanted to say before, is that you mentioned not doing it on the face because most of those skin brushes are rough, but there are skin brushes made for face. And that's the only place I always do every day is my face and my neck, because the rest of me is like still, you know, in my workout clothes and I don't necessarily, you know, take a shower every day. I may take a shower every third day, whatever, because I'm going, well, and maybe I do take up a hot tub or whatever, but or I forget before I get into the shower. That's my typical thing. I have that brush sitting there and I just move it away and get in the shower instead of using it. So there's the skin, the one for the face is actually quite good. And the other thing that you've got to make sure that you're not so dogmatic with people, because I was really like, oh, I can't skin brush unless I can take a shower after. And I'm like, wait a minute, you don't have to. So if I just wanted to do my arms, right? I just wanted to do my arms and my legs because they're showing. And I want to do that. And then I can just take a washcloth and wash off the debris from the broken off skin. So there's like thinking, I think just the reason I'm so excited about this food principles whole module is because there's so many great principles in so many places. And for us to just really have like the smorgasbord of things we can choose from people. And also getting away from the dogma of it where you have to do it this way because it's not good. I meditate. I've been meditating every day for 19 days since I got my muse. But I don't do it for 20 minutes a day because I don't always have that 20 minutes. I usually do it in 5 to 7 minute segments. Maybe I do it twice a day. Maybe I do it once a day. But before, I was under the impression that I had to do it an hour a day. I didn't have an hour a day, or a half an hour in the morning, a half an hour at night, or it had to be this relationship to food and you had to do it an hour before. It got me so nutty that I didn't meditate. Right? But now I'm so free to say, oh, I've got 5 minutes. Oh, let me take a break between this client and the next one. I have 5 minutes. I'm going to do my muse and I'm going to meditate. And sometimes playing games is so important to get people to do these principles, right? Is having this, okay, I did it this many times. I've done it 5 days in a row, you know, like kids with stickers. So some of those principles you can actually use and have them create a little chart and they put a little, you know, cool sticker on it when they get it. Cause it's just a silly app on my phone, but I'm so hooked in to, okay, now today's 19 days. I'm going to get 20 days and I can't miss one. Oh my goodness. It's 11:30 and I haven't done my meditation. I better go do it. Right. It just gets people incentivized, and maybe I'm unique, but I got it from my husband who's on his like 287th day or something. And he's never meditated before in his life before he started it. But now it's this like, I can't break my streak. That would be ridiculous. So I have to meditate. Anyway.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that is a way to work with your clients. And like you said, if you're so dogmatic that they're already overwhelmed to begin with.
Yeah.
And they have to do things a certain way. So you're absolutely right. That flexibility is what really makes us good practitioners, I think.
Yeah, and let me ask this: is the 20 minutes of oil pulling, is can you get benefit if you do 5 minutes of oil pulling?
Sure. You know, I think the 20 minutes isn't set in stone. Although the research that I've done, they say it kind of takes, you know, it takes a while to really get the toxins pulled out. But yeah, if you don't have 20 minutes, it's definitely beneficial just to do 5 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is great. Jan, I can't thank you enough, by the way. This has really been a nice lecture. And, you know, I think that, again, it's another set of tools for our armamentarium and great, you know, for helping patients see that there's a wide range of options that we can choose from and pull together and customize. You know, if somebody doesn't like eating a certain way or certain spices or doesn't want the kind of herbs that are here, but they do like the oil pulling, the skin care, you know, so forth. It's just so great to have this huge arsenal of things to pull from. And this is another beautiful example of that.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And it just gives us more tools for customization, which I think is so, so, so valuable. We have another question. Thank you, Beverly. We have another question from Eva. I think I'm finally saying your name right, am I?
Yes, you are. Thank you very much.
I've been trying, Eva.
Oh, you are doing awesome. Thank you. It's right on, so don't change it. Jen, great presentation. Thank you for the information. I have a question. Let's say myself, me, I'm primarily a pitta in body digestion, basically believes that my head is in Vata, and it's very hyper mode, very all over the place and not grounded. You know, I think Pitta is a little bit more grounded than Vata is. How would you handle somebody that crosses over into two pretty strongly into their constitutions?
That's a great question. I'll go ahead and give my thoughts and then Dr. Rita Marie can follow up. But my thought would be, you mentioned that you were pretty strongly in the pitta, and as long as your digestion is good and you feel like your diet is working for you, then what I would do, one suggestion would be to take some of those principles of the vata, the grounding, and if you can get outside, and especially in the summertime, again, as we mentioned, be barefoot on the earth, get those negative ions and really get the grounding. You can include some root vegetables into your diet and then the meditation. So you mentioned that a lot of the vata was in the head.
And right. And that's what really bothers my digestion.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah. So the heart math, the stress relieving, doing the stress transformation program that we have would be super.
Okay.
And I'm sure Rita Marie has some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's common because remember you said there were the seven, what do you call them, the seven whatever, your unique constitution.
Yeah, so
primarily one of the three, and then there's three combinations of two. So you would be the Vata Pitta, and then there's the combination of all three. And doing those questionnaires helps, but looking at what Jan put together helps too. You just go through those rather than the official questionnaire and you see where you lie and then you just balance it. Like for me, I think I'm very equally both. I'm just like, I have almost everything from both of them, Vata, Pitta, but, there's certain things I don't. There's a couple of things from Kapha that I have, but not very many. So I'm really strongly in those. And so whichever area looks the most out of balance. Right. If you had all the really good stuff of Vata and all the really good stuff of Pitta, that's great. You just, you know, do your combination of foods and activities. But if you're having like you're pushing more towards you describe that as negative, right? You're just mind's all over the place and that's affecting your digestion. Then you look at where is most of the imbalance lying and how do I balance that back? You still want to. But you want to pull yourself into balance. And so if there's certain things, especially with Pitta Vata because of the heat, you know, hot, cold or opposite, you have to look to see where you're going to most resonate and where it's going to pull you back to center. And sometimes it takes experimentation, right?
Yes.
Like anything else. We just try one thing and go, oh, let me do a little bit more that way. And let me push it a little bit more that way.
It would be fun for you also to experiment with the bacopa if you haven't already.
And I have not.
Yeah, so that would be an easy thing to try, to get some of that herb and start incorporating that into your daily elixirs, and that might be, you know, that might be enough. So again, one thing at a time, so you can kind of see what is helping, but I would also include the meditation. I think that's just helpful for anyone across the board. Don't you?
Yeah. Oh, I totally do. And you know, it's interesting because today I got this little sticker that said I had 3 minutes of calm and congratulations. And you know, I could feel it the more. But when I meditated, I would be always in the mode of judgment. Like you said, disband the judgment, right? Like, oh, I can't believe you keep going off. And then I would never be able to get back. And so this thing has this little gentle, the waves start crashing harder and it gets louder. And I go, oh, there's my, and I can feel my mind going. Like before when I first started, I could feel it be, oh my gosh, there's the sound. I must be having my mind drift. But now I'm going, okay, there you go again. Okay, let's get back to breathing. Let's get back. And it really helps me to stay calmer. It totally helps me to just get out of that monkey mind mode, which I can easily get in. Like there's 5,000 things I want to do and I want to do them all right now. I'm sure you've experienced that, Eva.
I am 100%.
And it really does help to bring you back to center with that. And the bacopa is supposed to be very good with that as well, with just calming that crazy mind that's all over. You don't want to do like, you know, like they do with poor little kids and they put them on Ritalin and just shut them up. Because the mind is, that's your creativity. And all you want to do is be able to slow it down a little bit, write down a lot of ideas. That's another technique too, by the way, is you just, when you start to have all these things coming in your mind, you just grab a piece of paper and you just write it all down. Then you meditate and then you look at your list and go, okay, what am I going to start with?
Yes, I'm laughing because my partner is laughing right next to me because I don't write anything down. I don't spend time outside. I don't meditate. I'm all over the place. I can give you one task, and as I'm giving you the one task, I'm already designing the second task. So,
oh, funny. Yeah.
So I that's my weakness, and this is where I need the most help. It's the quieting, and even Dr. Weintal, David, and that I'm working with is having difficult time with me because nothing that I'm grasping right now is doing that. So, I'm looking for actually a big solution to get that under control, and I'm going to give everything try. You know, I'm going to really try to, right now is my time to make this happen. So, because as I'm getting older, I'm noticing that because I have much more, you know, I have so many different tasks and I want to accomplish so many different things, and I have my, you know, I still have kids at home and this and that. And there's just a lot of things that make me feel like I want to climb out of my skin many times, you know, so I need to work on it.
Writing things down is a great, and grounding, going outdoors, stepping in the, you know, it's nice warm weather out, go out and step on your lawn in the morning. But the other thing is I have these notebooks and I'm so all over the place that I end up with lots of them because I have them in different places in the house. But you basically, I call it the parking lot. It's basically when ideas come that you're not necessarily going to act upon right away. It's the parking lot. You just park them there for later and then you can go back through. And what it does is it psychologically eases that craziness in your brain because you know, oh, it's there. I don't have to keep thinking about this. I don't have to keep stressing about this because I wrote it down.
Right. I even have a whiteboard in my hallway.
Well, whiteboard. Scary.
Whiteboard, then I go up and
then transfer it to something permanent, or else that just like made me freak out, like a whiteboard. What if somebody comes by and erases my stuff? Right?
Sometimes I feel a little bit more anxious because I walk by the whiteboard and I see things that are not checked off. And
I don't know that that's a good idea. I think, you know, a thing, and here's what I tell people like you who are very, want to get a lot of things done, is you make your long to-do list, right? You write them all down. But then every day at the beginning of the day, you pick three things that you really dedicated to accomplishing. And then you get to check off your, and you make a mini list. Then you get to check off your mini list and you feel so good because for the first time in your life, you checked off everything on your to-do list, right? And then after you check them off, you can go back and add one more. what's the next most important thing on this list? Check it off. And then at the end of the day, you feel like, oh my God, I did my to-do list and four other things. Wow. As opposed to, holy cow, I only did three things on my to-do list.
Yeah, I have to practice that. That's a great advice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beverly wants to know how you use Bacopa, Jan and Lynn. How do you actually use it? What do you take? How do you
take what
it?
I would recommend? That way she could see, and anybody that wants to experiment with it, as Dr. Rita Marisa always taught us, kind of the easiest way to get something into the body is in a liquid. So I would go ahead and get the powder, or even if they don't have the powder, you know, the ground up, the leaves. And then I have these little tea bags that I bought from Amazon that I can just fill. Or you can use the tea balls or whatever, but I like the bags because then you don't get the little flakes in your, that bugs me. It doesn't bug some people, but I would drink it if you like, you know, if you can tolerate the taste of it, I would drink it. You could maybe put a little, you know, stevia in there if you need to. But I found most herbs are not too bad. If it's not too bitter, then that'd be the first thing I would try, is drinking it as a tea, because then you're just getting straight Bacopa, and I'm always analyzing cause and effect. And you can say, okay, I drank that at 10 this morning. I had 16 ounces. You know, how did that make me feel? I drank it again in the afternoon, that sort of thing. So that would be what I would try. Mm-hmm. You could also include it, as Dr. Rita Marie mentioned, you could do it in an elixir where you're putting a fat in there. As well, say some coconut oil or coconut butter. Yeah, some cacao if you like, if you want to disguise the taste a little bit. You can include some other superfoods, but I really like something straight first, if I can tolerate it, just so I can
see how it works.
Yeah,
I actually love bitter and pungent taste. I don't have any problems with that. The bit more bitter the more I want it, so.
Perfect. If you tend to be pitta and you find that you're hot, overheating, you could, you know, pour it over a little bit. You could make it cooler. You could put a little ice cube or something in it, but not so that it's so cold, but cool it down as a tea. Or you could drink it warm if the vata is coming up and you're feeling cold. So.
Well, that's the funny thing, because my feet and my hands are very cold. And the rest of my body is very hot, and I sweat under my arms 24 hours a day. So it's very weird, but that's also cortisol and everything that I'm dealing with. I'm a very complicated case.
Yeah, well, you got to get your adrenals tested, do a Dutch test so you can really see all the different metabolites, and then just go from there, you know, and use these common sense things from these principles and common, you know, sense food principles, low glycemic. We talked about that before, but make that diet, make it a commitment.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Lynn mentioned on the chat, why wouldn't you also brush your chest? And I think that goes along, Dr. Rita Marie, with what you said about you can. You just want to use a softer brush. And again, back when they developed all of these tenets and principles, the brushes were pretty stiff and primitive.
Probably cactus. Needles, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So definitely, you surely could do your chest. You would use a softer brush or a nice washcloth, you know, that's a little bit.
Washcloth can work well. I know that Teresa Tapp has these little face brushes, and I've bought hers. It's a little hand brush, and it's very, very gentle on my face. And it really gives you a nice little, you know, red pink glow, and my skin really likes it.
There's a lot to be said for exfoliation.
Yeah, absolutely super. That's it. No other questions. Last call for questions. Okay, good. All right, everybody, I'm just gonna say goodbye. I'm gonna stop the recording, and we can all say goodbye to each other.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you so much, Jan. You're like my kid, so I get my name syndrome. I come to you. You're like
I'm flattered.
You'd open up everybody's lines. Beverly has her hand up again. Did you have one more thing to say?
Yeah, Beverly? I did actually. I opened the cap, so I just wanted to let everybody know before we got off. It was a brand new bottle. I opened it up. I took out a capsule and emptied the capsule into a little bit of warm water into a mug that ironically had a little bit of leftover ginger piece in it. And so it tasted actually fine. It's not
good.
Bitter. It's not offensive. It's really quite very neutral, very kind of neutral, powdery, nothing very intense. And right after that, I took a little half teaspoon of my ashwagandha powder into the water, and that, of course, has a little bit more bitterness. So comparatively,
it's much bitter than, what is bitter than ashwagandha. That's great to know. So it did go great in an elixir. All right. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, everybody, for being here. Say goodbye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye. Thank you so much. It was awesome.
Let's go.